Welcome to Pest Control Millionaire. Today's guest is one of my really, really good friends, Marvin Salcido. He's based out of Tyler, Texas. He owns Salcido Lawn and a bunch of companies that we can talk about. Marvin's business is doing $5+ million at this point. He's an absolute stud. He coaches some smaller companies, and we're going to talk about that today. He's going to drop some bombs for sure on us. And so I appreciate you being here, Marvin, and thanks for taking the time to spend with us today.
It's my pleasure.
I think we met, six, seven years ago now?
Yeah, it's been about 7 years, I think.
Time flies and we're having fun.
It does.
And, you know, I've learned a lot from Marvin. I'm sure he can say the same about me. We've talked on and off, I would say, for about the past 7 years, at least once a month, I would say, if not more sometimes. One of my really good friends, and he's doing really big things. So I think he'd be great to have on the podcast, share some of the knowledge and wealth that he has in the industry. And why don't you just take us back? Because I know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, right? You've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. But take us back to how this all got started, and then kind of your entrepreneurial journey, and then to where you're at today.
So my entrepreneurial journey kind of started over about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Before that, I had owned a couple other companies, one large company. I was a partial owner in a multimillion dollar landscape company, and me and my business partner, we didn't get along. And so I exited that company in October of 2016 and started over. And then that's kind of led to where we are today. Since October 2016, in part of my exit of that company, I took about $100,000-$150,000 worth of business. And then I hustled. And when I say I hustled hard. Mm-hmm. I got out there, I hit the streets, I door knocked, I passed out flyers, I advertised like crazy. And then I grew really, really fast. Not quite as fast as you. But I grew fast. In the last 6 years, we've gone from, 100,000 to, this year we'll close out right about 5 million.
That's impressive.
Thank you. And, I mean, it's not all been sunshine and rainbows. It's been a lot of hard work. When I left my old company, I sat my wife down and I told her, I said, babe, so the next 3 years are going to suck. It's going to be tough. Our income has dropped drastically. We're going to have to cut back anywhere and everywhere we can. But we're going to make it. I said, give me 3 years and I'll grow it. I'm going to be gone a lot. I'm going to work a lot. And I said, but I'm going to make it happen. And that's what I did. I got out there and I hustled and I made it happen. I advertised like crazy. I pushed our way into the market. I pretty much disrupted the market in my area. And I had a lot of landscapers mad at me. And that when they'd catch me, at the store or whatever, they'd come up to me like, dude, what the crap are you doing? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, how did you grow so fast? It's like, I'm doing what everybody should do. I'm marketing. I'm getting out there and I'm telling people about myself. That's what I did is, I've always been a firm believer that people don't know to call you if they don't know to call you. If they don't know who you are, you'll never get that phone to ring. But if every time you turn around, you see my company name in front of your face, or you see one of my trucks, or you see one of my Facebook advertisements, or you get one of our flyers or, a piece of mail or whatever, who are you going to think of when you need lawn and landscaping services?
For sure.
You're going to think of those guys at the green trucks in Salcido.
Yeah.
And we're going to be the first ones that you call.
And when I say you marketed yourself very well, you branded yourself very well, is almost an understatement because you took it to another level. You painted your buildings green. I think you have cabinets in your house that are green. Everything in the Salcido world is green. But it's awesome because that's how everyone knows you, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, what even led to me painting everything green, right after I left the old company, it was about 3 months after I left, driving down the road, and my guys called me, and they said, hey, did you see us? We were waving at you. And apparently I had passed him on the road and I didn't even notice my own truck. And I got to thinking about it. It's like, if I'm not going to notice my own truck, nobody else is going to see me either. And I stopped what I was doing. I drove across town. I walked into the paint store and I told him, I said, let me see your paint book. And I literally just page by page started flipping through the book. And the first color that jumped out at me, I said, I want that one right there.
That's Salcedo Green. That's what we all call it, isn't it?
Salcedo Green.
And like every one of our friends, that's just what they call it. It's Salcedo Green.
It is.
But I mean, you have
all the time who send me photos of trucks and anything that's green, they send it to me.
I mean, you had a big jacked up, is it F-250, F-350 dually?
It's a 650. 650, yes, sir.
There you go. 650 dually. That's all green. You have an old vehicle. Which one's that?
I've got a 51 Ford, and then I just recently bought a 48 Ford.
All lime green. So, like, when he say he branded himself well, he branded himself really well. So, if we know who he is in other states, definitely his own city knows who he is.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who counted how many times she saw one of my trucks in one day. They volunteer for Meals on Wheels, and they were out driving the city. And I think she got up to 9 different trucks that she saw in one day.
And Tyler's not that big of a market, right?
It's not. It's about 150,000 people.
So they're seeing your trucks constantly.
Yes,
sir. So let's go back to the other company. When you first started with that company, how long ago was that? How long were you in that company?
So I started that company. I actually pioneered that company in June of 2003.
And, so you're not new to this.
No, I've been in this a long time, 20 years.
But people see the success now, but they don't see the last 19 years, right?
No, they don't. They think that I literally am an overnight success, but what they don't realize is it took me 20 years to be an overnight success.
Yeah.
And so I started in 2003, grew the business to about 1 million. Then I merged with another guy, and we grew the company. We went from 1 million to 2 million to 3 million in consecutive years. And then we got outbid on some really big projects or on some work that we had. So we lost it's like $1.2 or $1.3 million worth of work in a 3-month period. And I'm pretty sure that was the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
For at least for me being in that company, we had to scale back and we had to scale back fast. We brought in an outside consultant to come and look at the company and just kind of see where we were with everything. And he told us, he said, the company makes good profit. He said, you just don't have enough work. And he said, quite frankly, this business cannot support two owners. And so at that point, I started trying to figure out some way that I could, for lack of better terms, jump ship, but some way that I could exit and still provide for my family. I mean, I was literally looking up jobs on Indeed, anything and everything I could do to provide. I was trying to figure out some way so I could keep my family alive.
Yeah. And then, so you, at that point, you just decided, like, okay, I mean, this is your baby. I mean, you built it. You helped build this baby from day one. Now it's a $3 million company. And to walk away from that is not an easy task. Like, that's your baby. Like, people don't understand, like, how much it really means to walk away from something like that.
It was heartbreaking. It really was.
Yeah. And not only, but for yourself, but, like, your wife was involved. And this is about the time that you and I met.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't good at home. It wasn't good at work. There's just a lot of things that weren't going good. And to walk away from all that, to start over from day one, takes a lot of cojones, if you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
But like, we see the other side of it where you've come out and you've put what you learned to work and you grew really fast. But I just want to emphasize, like, people see your success now, but I want to paint the picture like, okay, this is hard. Like, and it's not for everyone. You're going to go through some shit. You really are. And so here's just living proof of someone who went through some shit and came out on the other end an absolute monster, which is so cool to see. And it's impressive, and it gives me goosebumps every time I talk to you about it.
No, thank you. Thank you.
You're a stud.
A lot of sleepless nights there. I mean, it's like you said, it ain't for everybody, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And I talk to people who are thinking about starting a business, I ask them, are you really ready for this? And I not that I'm trying to discourage them, because I want everybody to succeed, but I want them to know what they're getting into. There's a lot of people that they become what I call accidental entrepreneurs. And, they're really good at doing something. Mm-hmm. Mechanic, they may be great at landscaping, or, a fabulous pest control technician. And somebody talks them into starting their own business. And then they don't realize the back end of the business. Producing the work is only a third of what it takes to run a business.
That's the easiest part.
That's the easiest part. Mm. The two thirds are the other end of it. It's, you have to sell the work. You have to make sure it's billed out. You have to deal with the taxes and the payroll and the payroll taxes and workman's comp and insurance and insurance and insurance. And did I say insurance?
Maybe we should just say
there's a lot of insurance.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot to the back end of it that most people never see. And that's what we're good at.
Yeah, and that's why most businesses don't make it, right? They say that the majority of businesses fail within the first year. And the next, I think it's 90%, and then the other 10% that's left, another 5 or 6% of those fail after 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
So when you got when you got out of that business, you didn't take any money. Did you take any equipment, or did you just walk away with zero?
So my agreement with him, my old partner, was that I would take, the $100,000-$150,000 worth of business. And then I took enough equipment for one crew, and that's it. And then I walked away, and I exited, and I started over. And, I hustled.
Yeah, and you had the experience. How many years were you in that company? So you started in 2003. And when did you get out of that? What year was that?
2016. October 2016.
You were there a minute.
12 years, 13 years.
And then he started over. So.
Or 11. Wait. I don't know. I can't do math. That's hard.
That's why we're lawn care guys, right?
Right.
So let me ask you this. So this is the point where I met you. You had already learned a lot of this stuff, like through the School of Hard Knocks, right? But when did you know that you needed help to reach out to someone and say, I can't figure this out? Like, how did you find your first coach? How did you end up where you ended up at that point?
So actually, shortly before me exiting my old company, I say shortly, about a year prior to me exiting, we had joined the Service Autopilot Academy, and both me and my partner, I was the one who was mainly on the calls. I was the one who was going on the trips and learning. And I think he joined for one or two trips, but, for the most part, I was the one who was putting in the work and pushing in, trying to learn what I could and going forward. And, even though I had been in business for years and years, I realized how little I knew. At the time of us joining the academy, we were grasping at straws. We were trying to save our business, because that was right after we had lost all that work, and we were trying to figure out what we could do, how we could do it, how we could push the business forward. And, it was too little too late. And, I ended up having to step back out into the field and work as the company mechanic. And, I was relying on my partner to help me push the needle forward and help me push the office side of things and, getting clients and grow that side of the business while I was trying to keep the logistics side of it running. And it wasn't working out that way. And, when I exited and I started over, everything that I had been learning in the academy it, all the simple how-tos of, you know, getting new clients, that's what I did. I just got out there and I hustled and I put in the work. And I remember 1 month in particular, I picked up over 100 clients in 1 month just by doing what I knew to do. And you know, everything that I had learned, I mean, no matter how simple it was, I was implementing it. And that was one of the biggest ways that helped me to scale and to scale fast. And because I had already done everything wrong the first time.
Yep.
I knew the second time around. And so I was able to bypass a lot of problems and headaches and heartache. And then that's how we were able to grow.
Yeah. Now, when you started back over, you implement all these things, but reverse for a year, you're paying for this academy basically that you couldn't afford. When you left the company and you had nothing, did you structure a deal to try to get in the group? Did you pay for it? Just like you didn't have any money? Like, how did you work that? Where you get? Because I mean, it's expensive, right? At that point.
So yeah, I was paying $1,000 a month.
Yeah,
and so I actually found out, my old business partner told me, he said just nonchalant, "Oh yeah, by the way, I canceled the academy." I was like, "What?" And I immediately picked up the phone. I called Jonathan Potoshnik and I said, "Hey, I don't want to leave the academy. I don't know why he canceled, what's going on. That's on him. I want to stay in." I said, "Here's my personal credit card number. Run it today. I want to stay in. I didn't authorize us to leave."
Yeah.
And I jumped back in. I was paying for it out of my own pocket because for me, I saw the value in it and I knew what it would do. And so, I mean, I paid for it out of my own pocket.
So you put it on a credit card.
That's how much value I saw on it.
Yeah. So you put $1,000 a month on a credit card until you could afford it, which I did the same thing. I'll be honest. I said it 100 times. Like, I couldn't afford it either.
Yeah.
But how much has that $1,000 a month made you?
$5 million a year.
Isn't it incredible?
Plus, I mean, because I've duplicated it in other businesses. I mean, it's just exponential. I mean, there's over my lifetime, it'll make me hundreds of millions. I mean, there's just, how do you put a number on it?
You can't. And that's why you said you don't know what you don't know is what you said.
Yeah.
And you got to find the people who are in your industry that do know, that have been through it, that'll save you that time, those speed bumps, kind of like you did. Like, you took what you learned from business one, you applied it to business two, and scaled five times fast, kind of like we did, right? So it's just taking all those things that you know, and I've said it 100 times again, like, they can take it all away. The bank could take away your trucks, they could pull all the notes, they could do it all, but they can't take away what's in your head, right? They can't take away the information that you have in your brain and start all over again. So take it all away, 'cause I'll do it again tomorrow. I'll do it way faster again.
Yeah. Well, so, look at this most recent business that you have. I mean, look at how fast you were able to scale. The reason why? You knew what to do.
Yep, and I knew what not to do. I knew what the services I didn't want to do. I knew what worked in my market. I knew what didn't want to work in my market, but it took me 12 years to figure that part out.
Yeah, you were able to streamline it and just run.
Yeah, and it makes it so much simpler when you have less services, less overhead. You know, we talked about it before our call, like, you're doing less services that are a little bit easier, and there's still a lot of moving parts, but there's just, you know, a lot less moving parts now, hauling my product and I'm moving mowers around. Like, yeah, it's just way simpler. It's just a, you know, keep it simple, stupid model. So now we're up to 2022 and Celsita's doing 5 million plus, which is absolutely incredible. I mean, it's just impressive to any business to get to that big, let alone in lawn care related, right?
Yes, sir.
So, what services do you guys offer to date?
So we're full service lawn and landscape. We offer lawn mowing, so lawn maintenance, fertilization, weed control, irrigation, design, install, and repair, landscaping, design, and install.
Holiday lighting?
Flower bed maintenance and Christmas lighting.
Cool. What do you think your revenue split is? Like, where do you, where?
So my two largest services, my leader is lawn maintenance, with probably 25% of the market, with a close second in landscaping. That's probably around 20%. And then fertilization and weed control is probably like, I don't know, somewhere 18 to 20%. Flower bed maintenance is going to be in the 10% range. Irrigation is probably going to be in the 8 to 10%. And then with Christmas, bringing up the rear.
Yeah. And now, do you have any H2B workers with you guys? Are you all...
No, sir.
So you hire all on your own
up there?
Yeah, you're good. Do you have a recruiting company that you work with, or do you hire it all internally? How do you manage the people
as far as hiring? So everybody that we have are W-2 American workers. Most of them was just, you know, we're recruiting them. I haven't used any traditional firms. I've used a marketing company to try and help me advertise for workers, but no, we've not used any firms or anything like that to get us workers. I mean, it's just been Facebook ads, Indeed, LinkedIn, just ads like that. And then, you know, of course our best is typically word of mouth, guys bringing their friends on board, because we want to be a great place to work. We've got a good culture, and, you know, we offer a lot of benefits, you know, health insurance, paid time off, holidays, 401k with a match, free tacos every once in a while,
Yeah.
I mean, I'd come just for the tacos personally.
Tacos in Texas, I heard that they're the best. So.
Yeah, they're great. So, but no, I mean, we do our best to create a great place to work. So, you know, that alone helps attract people to come and work for us.
Super awesome. So now it's winter time, and I know this is where most lawn care companies struggle, right? We have snow. We get hundreds of inches of snow. Down there, you don't get any snow, but the work scales way back. How do you guys handle staying busy throughout the winter?
So we, you know, one way is we do Christmas lighting. That helps. The town that we live in, we don't stop working. Like we don't completely shut down for the winter like a lot of markets do. But we do go from mowing weekly to going biweekly. The guys will get less hours. So we do scale back in that aspect. And we just do our best to try and hustle and find work and cleanups and mulch jobs and whatever else that we can do to fill the workout and try and give them as many hours as we can. Historically, we have done our best to not lay people off in the winter. They won't get, they don't always get 40 hours, but you know, we try to keep people as busy as we can, as busy as the work will allow.
Yeah. So how many months during the winter are you slow? Is it from like December to March? What does it look like down there?
December. Yeah. December to March, about March 15th, it usually picks up pretty, it goes from dead to, balls to the wall.
For sure. And when you guys usually get done hanging Christmas lights?
Into the second week of December.
So you guys are just about wrapping it up.
We're scaling back. I think we're down to just our last few installs, and we may have one or two more that get approved, and we've got some quotes out still. But it slows down.
Awesome. So now it's going to bring me to one of my most favorite topics at this point, and I've talked to you about this outside of this call and over the past couple of weeks, but mergers and acquisitions.
Yes, sir.
You've gotten really good at it.
I try.
Yeah, and you're doing it in a way that people don't quite understand. Like, these people aren't the businesses aren't for sale, like you're finding them. So the company that you bought, has it been 2 years now?
Almost 2 years. Yeah. We bought them in March of 2020.
So let's talk about that. How did you find that company? Did they find you? Did you find them? How did you structure a deal? Let's walk through that, because I think that's where there's going to be a lot of value to people.
So in 2018, I think it was, I had heard through the, is either 2018 or 2019, I had heard through the grapevine that he was considering selling. And he was my largest competitor in the market, is who he was. And I had heard through the grapevine that he was considering selling. And so I just reached out to him. And I just shot him a message and I said, hey, word on the street is you're looking at retiring. You know, if you're interested in selling, let me know. That's it. Nothing crazy. And he was like, yeah, I am. Are you interested? I said, I am. Let's talk. And we negotiated back and forth and back and forth. And at the time, his profit margins were way down. And, you know, my evaluation of the business was not very high because of that. And I hit him at a number and negotiations died for a year. And then we come the next year in October, he reached back out to me and he said, you know, hey, you still interested? I'm pretty serious about this. I'm, you know, if you're not interested, come January, I'm officially putting the business on the market. And I said, I'm interested if the numbers are right. And I tell people, if the dollars make sense, I'm always interested.
Yep.
And so we went back and forth and he had worked the whole year on getting his profit margins up. And the only reason why his profit margins were down, which my hunch was, is he had taken his eye off the ball. Mm-hmm. He was half retired. And I get it. When you're not paying attention and you just let people run amok, they're going to do what they want.
Yeah, he's getting burned out. That's what happened. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, his managers were running things and they did what they wanted. And, you know, that it is what it is. So he focused on it, got his numbers up. We negotiated back and forth. We finally came to a number and then we closed on it. Let's see, we're in 22. So we closed on it in March 21.
And what was that company doing in revenue at the time?
They were almost 3 million.
Almost 3 million. That's yeah. Awesome. And what people don't know is, like, when you're looking at companies to purchase, you're looking at more than just the company itself, or you're looking at profit and EBITDA, a fancy word for profit, yeah. Overhead, you know, all the metrics have to make sense.
Do they have staff that comes with right. it? Do they have a built equipment. Out management staff? Do they have good systems and processes in place? Do they have a CRM? Are they tracking their numbers? Or do they actually have a good set of books? You know, what's their company culture like? If their company culture is toxic, then for me, that brings the cost, you know, the value way down on mm-hmm. the business. You know, there's a lot of things to look at.
Yeah. And so
way too many for us to look at on this call.
For sure. But that's what people need to understand when they're building their business and they're building it to sell it. These are the things that they're going to have to think about. You know, if they're not making a profit and they're constantly just working, not knowing their numbers, and then 7 years go by and their company's still not making any profit, their business is almost worse at $0.
Yeah.
So it's just important to people understand like why financials are so important. So did you hire a consultant to help you look at the numbers? Did you bring someone in? Did you do it all yourself? What did that look like?
So I had somebody look at the numbers and they actually told me not to buy the business. My hunch was that the business was a good buy, regardless of what the consultant said. My hunch was it was a good buy. And so I went ahead and went with my gut. And even though it was a big headache once we bought it, there was a lot of things I didn't realize were the way they were until I bought it.
Tell us a few of those things.
Do what now?
Tell us a few of those things. Like they wish you looked at a little closer.
I didn't realize how much work they were doing on pen and paper. We're doing very little through a CRM. They were tracking everything through spreadsheets and QuickBooks, and which is fine to a point, but there was no automations in place. There was no digital footprint for the business. Everything was a manual process. And so everything took a lot of time, and it was just a slow, cumbersome, clunky way to do business. And to get them switched over to a CRM and get everything digital, it was a massive undertaking. To get the entire company switched over, it took me almost a year to get everything switched.
Now that it's been a year, like looking back on it, was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Was your gut right?
So, I mean, you know, here we are almost 2 years later. It's been a year and three quarters. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it was worth it. I think it was absolutely a good buy. Zero regrets. It was just a lot of headaches up front to get everything in line. But once we got it going, it absolutely worth it.
Yeah, because I remember you told me on a phone call or a text or whatever it was, like, if your gut feeling is bad, has a bad feeling, probably should walk away from the deal, which you've done multiple times too. Like, you're like, I just had a really bad feeling about this.
And there's times when I should have walked away and I didn't. I remember one business deal or one business purchase I did. I didn't get a good set of books until the day we closed on the business.
Was that the fertilizing smaller company?
It was a irrigation company that I bought years and years and years ago. Okay. I mean, it was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much their business had gone downhill during the previous 3 years. And I should have walked away and I didn't. I was emotionally tied to the purchase, and I went ahead and went through with it, and I shouldn't have. I should have followed my gut and I should have walked away, and it ended up costing a quarter of $1 million.
Yeah, chump change, right?
Yeah. Not at the time. It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I should have walked away and I didn't.
Cool. So then this is last year, all of a sudden one day I pull up my Facebook and listen, here's Marvin Salcio talking about some automotive company. I knew the backstory to it, but let's kind of like walk the listeners through how this happened.
So that was actually this year, early this year. I was in negotiations during, you know, the beginning of January of this year. You know, over the past couple of years, we've been farming our major repairs for vehicles. We always do all our small equipment in-house, but our vehicle repairs, we were farming out to about three different companies. And this was one of them. And he told me he was going to be going out of business or going to be selling. And he had always been, you know, telling me how much of a headache it was and how many problems he had and all this and that. And he's like, why don't you buy my company? I'm like, man, I don't want to buy your headache. And, but the more I thought about it, the more it just kind of made sense.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, last year alone, I earned $1 million just in vehicle repairs. And I got to thinking about it. I was like, if I am my only client, it makes sense just for me to do, you know, to buy this shop out. That alone would make my payments. And so we talked about it. We went back and forth a little bit. We finally came to a number, and we went ahead and made the purchase in March of this year. And we've been hitting the ground ever since. You know, I started doing some of the same stuff, a little different because it's a mechanic shop, but you know, the principles are the same. Yeah. Advertising, getting our name out there. And you know, since we've taken over, we have tripled the workflow, and we're rocking and rolling.
Is that like 7 bays, 9 bays? What'd you say it was?
24 bays.
24 bays. You guys can do a lot of work.
Massive shop. A lot more potential than what we're doing right now. We're still growing. We're working on our growth. You know, I'm talking with a marketing company right now to help us do even more marketing. And, but no, there's a lot of room for growth.
Yeah, what do you guys do for services there? I mean, oil changes, brakes, I mean, everything?
It's full service auto repair. We also have full service paint and body shop.
Oh, wow.
So,
do they have Salcido Green in stock?
No, we paint our own stuff green.
I know you do.
But the company colors are blue and gray.
Yeah. So he just said, hey, why don't you buy my company? And you're like, oh, this actually makes sense because, you know, we're spending $250,000 on revenue. The Salcedo has to pay it regardless. Why not pay it back to yourself? You're not saving any money, but you're getting that money back in a different way.
And you're going to write off with one company, but I'm making the profit on the other.
That's pretty awesome. And you said that you've scaled that company like five times?
Three times. I mean, we've tripled the work.
How many guys you got over there?
I think there's eight employees on payroll.
That's awesome.
When I took over, there was three, and then right away, one of them quit. I was down to two people on payroll within the first week, and then now we scaled it to eight.
Now, with both these companies, has the owner stayed on it for a year? Did they help you with the...
With the mechanic shop, no. Okay. He exited pretty much right away.
Is that good or bad?
It ended up being a good thing.
Okay.
With the landscape company, I did a one-year work contract with him just to help the transition because it was a big purchase. He helped make sure that was a smooth transition.
Is he still there to this day, or is he done now?
No, he's since fully retired.
Okay.
He retired in February of this year.
And how old was he?
Mid-60s.
Okay, so he's young enough to go do something else still if he wanted to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he travels all the time.
That's loves cool.
Traveling.
Do you see him from time to time still?
Oh, yeah. He still drops by the office every once in a while. And yeah, no, we're on good terms.
What does he say about all the green?
Oh, he understands the marketing behind it. He gets it.
Yeah. So with having like the two or three businesses that you have, how do you manage your time? What does your time management look like that? Do you have certain days that you work on certain projects? Let's walk through that.
So I don't work in the landscaping company that much anymore. I spend the majority of my time over at the mechanic shop just simply because it is a new business to me. I don't even do much at the mechanic shop other than I'm a presence there and I make sure the bills get paid and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't put quotes together. I don't deal with the day-to-day there.
So if you left for a month and you came back, not how much would change? You might not grow, but it wouldn't change really?
Yeah, I mean, I would just have to make sure, like, I'm the one who still processes payroll. There's some still small manual tasks that I do. But, I mean, I could do remotely. I could have somebody email me what I needed and, you know, things would still keep moving forward. I started doing business coaching, helping other companies, smaller companies grow their business. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that in May of this year. And so that's what I spend the majority of my time doing now.
And for people that are listening, you're coaching smaller companies, I'm guessing $500,000 smaller, I'd be guessing.
I have companies that are anywhere from, you know, $150,000 all the way up to about $2
million. That's awesome. And you've been doing that since March?
May. Yeah.
And you said you work about 15 companies?
I believe it's eight. I believe the number's 18 now that I'm working with.
How does that feel?
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy it. I love helping people. I mean, I've been a servant my entire life. And, you know, why not put these my skills to use and help other people bypass a lot of the headaches that I had growing my business and help them to scale theirs, hopefully with a lot less headache and heartache.
I agree. I have a question for you, Marvin.
Yes, sir.
What are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of?
Take you back to reflect a little bit. Your wife?
My wife.
Yeah.
My wife is amazing. She has stood with me through thick and thin when I have been a jerk, when I brought my problems home and it affected our marriage. My wife, she's my rock, and she has stood there beside me no matter what.
And that's not easy, as we both know.
It ain't easy.
We're hard to deal with, aren't we?
I thank her all the time for putting up with me.
For sure. What is the most important advice that you've ever received about business?
Ooh. What is the most important advice? Ooh, that is a tough one.
I like putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Like I said, we don't get to think about these things often, do we?
What is the most important advice? I tell you, one of the best pieces of advice, I don't know if it's necessarily the most important, but it is top three. Insurance is cheap, no matter how much you pay for.
Cool. Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. So, as you know, my father passed away about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, we're dealing with all the insurance stuff now. So, I literally, on the whiteboard behind me, have a whole video just on the importance of insurance.
Mm. Yeah.
Thankfully, they had their business had it. But
yeah,
like, I could not agree with you more. It is so important.
Yeah. And as you know, another thing that is super important, especially as you scale, get a will. They're not that expensive, because trying to untangle somebody's life after they've passed, and if there's no will in place, it can be an absolute nightmare. Things can get held up in probate court for sometimes years if there's not something put in place. And I'm actually going through that process right now to make sure that I leave my family. I don't want to leave my family with a headache if something happened to me. It's already a hard enough process.
Yeah, like whether they're going to keep the business. I want to
leave a legacy behind, not, heartache and just, oh, Lord.
I mean, just you say it's simple because it is, but it takes a little time. But we always think that tomorrow's promise, and it's not.
Tomorrow is not promised.
And, what are we, 40 years old?
40.
Yeah.
Let me show you this. So I have this hanging on my wall in my office. This is 100 years of my life in weeks. And the filled in ones up here at the top are how many weeks I have lived so far. And the bottom is approximately how many weeks I'll have left to live in my life. And it's just a reminder that life is.
Will you text that to me?
Absolutely. It's four, like the number 4kweeks.com.
Number 4kweeks.com.
Yeah. So just the number 4kweeks.com.
I'm writing it down. Number 4kweeks.com. But yeah, just going back to tomorrow's not promised. So take a few days. Get your will put in place. Decide what's going to happen with the business. Make sure you have some insurance on yourself for your family, and just go through the process. Like you said, it doesn't take a whole lot of work, but it's definitely worthwhile in the end. Let's talk about the Conquer Coach. You started that in May.
Yes, sir. Started that in May this year. Went through a whole certification process, so I'm a certified business coach. And then started my first actual group. I think it was two months ago, and then four groups now. I actually have my fourth group that starts this afternoon, and each group consists of 4 to 5 people, and then I have another guy who is just a single. He's not in a group. He didn't want to be in a group, so it's a one-on-one call.
So they're in little pods?
Yeah, so we meet via Zoom weekly. And we go over general business stuff. If somebody has, they're like little mini mastermind
groups. Yep, like a little pod.
And so we group them by business size. I've got a low level group that's 150 to 250,000. Then I've got a mid level group that's, I think, 400 to 750. And then I've got two high level groups that are 1,000,000+.
That's cool. And then, obviously, they have to pay to be in it. And then, as I'm sure, the smaller companies don't pay as much as the bigger companies, something like that. How did you find those people? How did they find you?
So everything was done through the Conquer program.
Okay.
Josh Latimer actually helped pioneer this program.
Yep, I know Josh.
And he asked me to be one of the coaches about a year ago. And so I got my business life in order to where I had enough freedom to be able to do this earlier this year. And that's when I started. But so we meet weekly with the group. And so we talk over general business stuff. You know, if somebody has a particular problem, we can dive into that, try and help mastermind it, figure it out. And then we do monthly one-on-one calls. I do a monthly solo call with each member. And, you know, with that, we are, you know, trying to help fine-tune the specifics of their business and, you know, make sure that we can help push the needle forward. Every week I'm always asking them, how are you going to push the needle forward this week? What are you going to do to grow your business?
Now, is there some accountability in there built in for with you guys?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm holding them accountable every single week. Did you get, you know, because I ask them, what are you going to do this week? Mm-hmm. The next week, I'm following up with them. That's did awesome. You get this done? If you didn't get it done, why didn't you get it done? Sometimes they have good excuses, and sometimes they're like, eh, I was just lazy. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
All right, man. You need to get to this.
So they have a weekly pod call and then one monthly coaching call?
Yes, sir. And then they have, you know, the Conquer program has a bunch of, you know, materials on their website, the free access to, I say free, because they're a part of the program, they have access to all of these. There's HR handbooks, there's pricing sheets, there's, I don't know, hundreds of things that they can get access to, and then training videos and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of really good material.
So is this industry specific?
No, no. So, I mean, I even though I'm in the landscape business, I think I only have two landscape clients.
Oh, wow.
I've got HVAC, electrical, window washing, pressure washing. I have a concrete guy, a little bit of everything. I mean, it's all over the board.
That's awesome.
But I mean, business is business. It doesn't really matter what you're doing. It's just business.
It is. The product's a little bit different.
It is. And so, I mean, that was one of the, it was a little bit of a hard sell when I was first talking to these guys, and they're like, well, you don't know my company. How are you going to help us to grow? I'm like, I don't have to know your company. I know business.
Yep.
It's like when I bought the mechanic shop, I had one of the guys ask me, one of the mechanics, the one who ended up quitting because he just didn't see the vision of it. He asked me, he said, you ever ran a mechanic shop before? And I said, no. I said, but I know business. And I said, I know I can grow this one. I said, if you give me the opportunity, you watch what I can do, and I will grow this business.
I love that.
I mean, that's what I did. And he wasn't willing to see the vision of it. And so he quit.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to find you personally, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Marvin?
If you just have general information, you just want to talk to me, hit me up on Instagram. Instagram is probably the best place. And it's just at Marvin Salcedo.
Yeah, we can put your.
And but, you know, as far as if they're wanting coaching, you'd have to hit up the Conquer program. It's conquernow.com. Right now, my groups are all full. I'm not taking on any more coaching clients at the moment. We may open that up in the future, but wanted to make sure I had a good handle on my time here and be respectful for all of my businesses and everything that I'm doing. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Yeah. So are your calls, like your pod calls, are those all structured on the same day or are they?
I set them all up on, they're on Thursdays. They're all today. Nice. I had two this morning. I've got two more this afternoon. In the one-on-one calls, my clients have access to my calendar. And they just book them when it works for their schedule.
That's
and
really so, I awesome. Mean,
they may be on a Monday 1 week and the next month they're, you know, they're on a Friday afternoon. I mean, it's random.
Cool. Well, I won't keep you here any longer. I appreciate your time. I know you're busy.
Hey,
I just wanted to say that I'm super proud of you.
You're awesome.
You're doing really big things, and I hope we get you on here soon in the future.
Absolutely, my friend.
All right,
thank you,
buddy,
for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Pest Control Millionaire. If you are not already subscribed, we would really like if you did that. And please leave us a glowing review on iTunes. For the first 8 weeks that we have this show launched, we are going to give away a $50 Amazon gift card every week to a random person who gives us a nice review on iTunes. That's how important it is to us. Also, we want you to be involved with the show. Please send any questions you have about entrepreneurship, how to grow your business, anything about the service industry to info@pestcontrolmillionaire.com. We will answer them on the show. We have the best guests in the service industry, so why not get their take on your problems? Thanks for listening again, and we'll see you in the next one.